Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan coming to you today from beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888- 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us this evening Dr. David Kennedy. And Dr. Kennedy is a dentist, practiced for many years. He's retired now, and he's spending full time trying to educate people about the dangers of fluoridation and of mercury filling. So the first hour, we're going to talk about the dangers of fluoridation. The second hour, we're going to talk about mercury. And this is such a vitally important issue. It's estimated that somewhere between 62 and 65% of the water in the United States is fluoridated. Almost none of the water is fluoridated in Europe. Dental caries has fallen dramatically in Europe, just as it's fallen here in the United States, and it has nothing to do with water fluoridation. It has everything to do with dental hygiene, flossing of teeth, better nutrition. And well, I'm going to let Dr. Kennedy address these issues because he's really much more of an expert than I am. David, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Dr. Stan, thank you for having me so we can talk about these vital, important issues.
All right, fine. Well, let's get to the first thing. Let's get to this, start right in with this whole myth that water fluoridation stops dental cavities in children and gives them healthier teeth. And, you know, they will come in to meetings and they'll have these pictures of these children with these horrible teeth, and they'll say, that's what happens when you don't fluoridate the water. And of course, it's, well, why don't you go ahead and just discuss this whole basic issue. Is there any real benefit to children's teeth and cutting down on dental cavities in children from fluoridating the water?
Let me just be just as clear about this as I possibly can. No, there is no benefit whatsoever from putting arsenic, fluoride, cadmium, and the potpourri of materials that they you call fluoridating agents in the public drinking water. Actually, the studies show that in subsets of the population, it causes many adverse health effects, including lower IQ, arthritis, and they like to make fun of this, you know, like, oh, well, it causes so many problems. How could it possibly be so? Stan, you and I are old enough to remember that there were times in America when children didn't die of cancer at a tremendous rate. They didn't end up with reading disorders. I went to a one-room schoolhouse when I was a child, and I can tell you that none of the children in that one-room schoolhouse needed special tutors. We all learned to read. We moved more rapidly from grade to grade than the people in city schoolhouses and in the fluoridated communities of Kansas. So, you know, it's a myth that you can put a poison in the drinking water and it has any benefit to the population or the children. It's a bold-faced.
All right, fine. And there actually have been a number of comparative studies. There were, two parallel cities in New York. One was fluoridated and one wasn't fluoridated. What was Newburg and what was the other one?
Kingston. And that's the longest running study that 55, Harold Hodge said that, there's a tremendous benefit from water fluoridation, yada, yada, yada. Well, now we know that Harold Hodge murdered, supervised the murder of at least 47 people in as the leader of the Manhattan Project, and children were given radiation to see how they turned out, and that here 50 years later there's no difference in tooth decay, or actually it's slightly lower in the Kingston, the non-fluoridated community.
Now, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. David Kennedy, one of the greatest frauds ever perpetrated, but it's a dangerous fraud because it's aimed at lowering the IQ of your child. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Dr. David Kennedy, who is with Citizens for Safe Drinking Water, but he's also one of the champions of trying to get the truth out about the real effect of water fluoridation. And there are extensive studies that have been done in the United States, where tens of thousands of children have been carefully evaluated. And there is no difference between areas where they're fluoridated and non-fluoridated. Now, one of the things that will be brought up, David, is they'll say, well, but, you know, probably the pediatrician was giving fluoride to the children in the non-fluoridated areas. How do you respond to that?
Well, I have to respond to that with science. That the original studies of giving children fluoride in tablet form were done by a number of people. Peebles is one of them, and they showed that it causes dental fluorosis and doesn't reduce tooth decay. the Food and Drug Administration, when asked by Congress in the congressional investigation of 99 and 2000, said that there are no approved substance intended to be ingested has been approved to reduce tooth decay. And that they went on to say that there are no new drug applications on file. They forgot to mention that there are also 35 applications have been voluntarily returned to the manufacturers, saying there was no evidence of benefit as prescribed or directed in the labeling. So when you go to the science, they can't get it FDA approved. So what we get are a bunch of public relations people out there telling us how good it is to give the child tablets of poison, and yet when they go to the Food and Drug Administration and ask them to approve it, they can't get it approved.
Well, of course, most of the areas where they're fluoridating water, don't they also have this substance comes out of what, chimneys, scrubbed out of the chimneys, that has arsenic and lead as well as the fluoride in it?
Well, since the 70s, they haven't been able to have a chimney, which is one of the reasons there's been this big push to fluoridate America, is that they now have what's called a closed process. And yes, it is what used to be spewed from the chimneys and killing off the Everglades now is collected in the what's called the elixir from the phosphate fertilizer mining industry, held in holding ponds. And if you wouldn't let them put it in your water, if you wouldn't buy it from them, it cannot be legally dumped in the ocean. You can't put it in the air. You can't put it in a stream. You can't bury it in the ground. You have to take it immediately, without storage, immediately to a hazardous waste disposal agency that must mix it with some base material to deacidify it, turn it into a solid, and put it in a landfill where the water table is protected, so it has to be a lined landfill. That's what they would do if you didn't pay them $2, $3, $4 a gallon for it. They have to pay, you know, $1.50, $1.60 a gallon to dispose of it as hazardous waste.
Hold that thought for just a moment, David.
I'm done.
Well, my understanding is the EPA has been very, very concerned about the threat of arsenic, in the drinking water. And they're talking about, oh, if you have 3 or 4 parts per billion of arsenic in the drinking water, why, this is a terrible thing. And yet, of course, the byproduct of the material that they're putting in our drinking water, about my understanding, is about 90% of the drinking water that is fluoridated actually contains not only fluoride, but it contains arsenic, lead and cadmium, and one or two other radioactive. I think isn't there radioactive lead or something?
Well, there's radioactive isotopes in it. That's correct. In Escondido, that recently showed in court of law that the amount of arsenic, according to the congressional investigation in the water fluoridation chemicals and the California EPA, there's enough arsenic in the fluoridation chemicals after you dilute it with your drinking water to cause one additional bladder or lung cancer per 1,000 lifetime water users. And isn't that incredible? We'll put a substance in the water that's going to cause cancer.
Well, did this Escondido just go ahead and fluoridate anyway?
Well, they tried to, and then within 24 hours of having installed the equipment, they suffered a meltdown of their pump equipment and had a fluoride leak, which was not properly reported. There may be fines coming up on this. The equipment was eaten by the fluoride. They didn't believe what we were saying, that fluoride eats steel, and they had a steel fittings in the pump. Duh! Those people don't know what they're talking about, and immediately they had a hazardous spill. So
they're not actually fluoridating, but they're trying to fluoridate.
They are. They're trying to go full speed ahead. Those politicians have to pay back all those donations, they got from the promoters of fluoridation.
Well, what you have to do is just get the people inflamed. You've got to get to them with the truth. They have to understand that water fluoridation decreases fertility. It lowers the intelligence, it attacks the brain, it lowers the testosterone, it lowers the sperm fertility, it attacks the bones, it increases the incidence of hip fractures in the elderly, it leads to thyroid problems, it leads to aging and infirmity and arthritis, and attacks the endocrine system. This is all backed up by solid scientific evidence. How could you keep something like that concealed from the American people?
The American people tend to believe what the Madison Avenue PR people tell them, and that's unfortunate, but basically that's how we sell stuff in America. And that, they've been hiring PR people since the day one on this thing. Is it, how do you sell hazardous waste to American people? You tell it's good for the children. Oh, everybody loves children. Let's give them something that's good for them. If, you know, if it were black, they would claim it was white. If it were red, they would claim it was blue. If whatever it is, they make an opposite claim. But that's why they won't debate the issue. You know, I don't know if you call people that there's hundreds of people out there promoting water fluoridation, but if you call any of them and ask them to appear on the radio program with us, they refuse to come. Because they don't have answers to very serious issues, like why aren't there any valid scientific studies showing it's a benefit? One radio program, a guy named the promoter of fluoridation, Michael Weasley, said that there were 30,000 studies. Another program, he said there were 3,000 studies. Another meeting, he said there were 300 studies. And I think of that as Joe McCarthy. You know, I have in my pocket here 250 names of communists. And, you know, and then the next day it was 300, the next day it was 400. If they don't know how many studies they have, they don't know. And then under oath, they testified they didn't have one. So it's just a big lie, and that's my opinion. But they don't have a single solitary study that's broad-based and blinded, valid by today's standards, that's showing it's a benefit. And we have thousands of studies, and I liked your list. I think your list of cancer, hip fracture, dental fluorosis, neurological impairment, bone pathology is a short list of the things that fluoride's causing in our country.
And I think it's really so vitally important. Incidentally, if any of our listeners out there in the audience would like to get that list, it's included in my November newsletter, we'd be glad to send you one free of charge. If you just call us at 1-800-544-8927, that's 1-800-544-8927, ask for the November Radio Liberty newsletter. Now, you can get it off the Internet, and you'll save us a couple of dollars if you do that. I just go to RadioLiberty.com and pull down the November newsletter. Of course, you may want to pull down all the other newsletters and start reading them and studying them, but all of them are referenced and where we got the information, and we can give you the documentation for everything we've said. So let's start going through the various studies that will start with fertility. In fact, there's a little mnemonic I have. It starts with fluoride. Well, it starts with F. So let's start with F. What do we know from scientific studies about the influence of water fluoridation, or at least of fluoride, on fertility?
Well, I think the most recent study was by Frenny, who worked with the Food and Drug Administration, showing that women who lived in high fluoride areas of the United States had a lower fertility than women who lived in the low fluoride areas. You know, is that due to the damage to the thyroid, or is that due to damage to the estrogen levels? Nobody knows, because they immediately began to say, oh, Frenny's just an anti-fluoridationist, and there's no need to pay any attention to that. You know, you don't want to pay any attention to that. Of course, those are just anti-fluoridationists. So that was, and there's a number of other studies that are also shown, especially in animals. Actually, all the animal studies to date have shown that if you expose an animal to excessive levels of fluoride, and by excessive, I'm talking the level that Americans are currently exposed to, then they have a drop in fertility.
Well, now, my understanding is that there's studies that show it lowers the testosterone level and lowers sperm motility. Have you run into that?
Yes, we've seen that also. And, you know, so it affects both male and female. And if you look at the fundamental gland of the human body is the thyroid gland. It's your thermometer. It regulates the temperature of your body. It's how fast you burn food and so forth. And if you blast out the thyroid, you end up with people that become obese or they lethargic, they're tired. And what do we have in this country today? We have trouble with weight gain. We have chronic fatigue syndrome. We have children that don't even go out and play basketball anymore because they're too tired. You know, they've blasted the thyroid of these children. The thyroid uses iodine. Iodine to the thyroid looks exactly like fluoride. It cannot tell the difference. So if you have an overdose of fluoride and an underdose of iodine, you end up with a thyroid that doesn't work.
And, of course, there is a very definite difference of relationship between hypothyroidism and excessive fluoride consumption. And, of course, when I say excessive, I mean any significant fluoride consumption, the amount you're getting certainly from, not only from water, but you get your fluoride in your soft drinks, and you get it in your Wheaties, and you get it in just about everything. You get it even on your vegetables, because the plants are too smart to pick up the fluoride. The root systems won't absorb it. So they spray it on the outside as a pesticide to kill the organisms there. And then, of course, when you eat the vegetable, you get it. Is that a fair assumption, David?
That's not only a fair assumption, it's proven. You know, they were saying if you wanted to poison America, the best way to do it would be to put something in the air or put something in the water. And in the 20s, they put lead in gasoline, and, you know, in the 70s, 50 years later, scientists figured out that, you know, children were inhaling the air that coming out of the back of the automobiles, and 40 years after that, they got the lead out of the gasoline. And then in the 1940s, they began to put fluoride in the water supply. Well, it's the same effect. You know, you're poisoning the entire population slowly, insidiously, one person at a time, one child at a time, one baby at a time. But it is exactly the same. It's like smoking a cigarette. One cigarette is not going to make you fall over dead, and that's what the dentists say. Well, I didn't see anybody fall over dead. Well, have you seen people die of hip fracture? No, because dentists are not allowed to treat that disease. Have you seen anybody die of lung cancer or bladder cancer? No, the dentists are not allowed to treat those kind of diseases. So don't go talk to your dentist about fluoride. It's the wrong person. They have no license to treat any of the diseases that water fluoridation causes, except dental fluorosis, which is good for business. If you don't believe me, open up the Yellow Pages and look in San Francisco Yellow Pages and see what the major ads are in there, all about cosmetic dentistry. Well, why? Fluoride causes teeth to be yellow and spotted. Well, what do you do if your teeth are yellow and spotted? You go see a cosmetic dentist and spend a few $1,000 getting little pieces of porcelain glued to them.
Well, you know, the whole story is really so fantastic. And the fact that they've been able to put this scam over in the American people. Now, there are a number of articles, and we quote several of them in my November article. Well, there was a man named Francis Crick, who had actually worked with James Watson on the substance of the DNA helix, and they're credited with discovering the spiral nature of DNA. But Crick talked about how we really needed to put a substance in water to decrease fertility because there were too many people in the world. And then you'll see these ideas picked up by the Population Control Council and the Family Planning Perspective, and where they actually talk about putting a substance in the water to decrease fertility rates. If you read Bertrand Russell's book, written in 1953, The Impact of Science on Society, on page 50, he talks about by diet, injections, and injunctions, we'll be able to mold the character of the people. By diet, injections, and injunctions, we'll be able to mold the character of the people. Zygmunt Brzezinski, in his book, Between Two Ages, talks about putting things in the food to control people. What better substance than fluoride, because it makes people lethargic? And we'll be talking a little bit more about that when we get into the scientific work that was done by Dr. Mullinex. But where do people get their fluoride besides the fluoridated water? What are the other sources of fluoride?
Black tea is high in fluoride, and if you want to talk about a tea that's really high in fluoride, it's green tea. Green tea can be up to 8 parts per million. There's fluoride in air. If your air lived downwind of either an oil refinery or an incinerator of some sort, or maybe one of those coal-fired power plants.
How about diet drinks, things like that?
Diet drinks, all these things have fluoride.
Grape juice?
Grape juice is 6.8 parts per million. That cripples people in China. And I had a young child in my dental practice and came in, and she had dental fluorosis, and I asked her, Mom, I said, did you give her fluoride tablets? And she said, no, we're very organic. We drink only, bottled water. We don't use any of the fluoride substance. And I went through a list of where she might have gotten the fluoride, and I got down to white grape juice, and the little girl popped up. She's 12 years old. Mom, isn't that my favorite?
We'll be back in just a moment here. And this is very, very high levels, toxic levels of fluoride, and we're giving to our children, and it's destroying their minds. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Dr. David Kennedy. We're talking about the disastrous effects of water fluoridation. It's very difficult for people to believe that anybody could be so crass and wicked and evil that they would want to hurt children. But the trouble is, there really are evil and crass, wicked people in the world. And this is one of the things that they're doing. I had in fact, I'm sure that Dr. Kennedy knows Dr. Burkstaller, who publishes the journal Fluoride. Do you know him?
Oh, yes, Albert, one of my professors from the University of Kansas.
Really?
Chemistry.
Well, of course, he must be pretty old, because you're retired and you were one of his students.
Yes, he's emeritus. He's been retired for a number of years. But, he's a worker. He's still the editor of the journal Fluoride.
And he was just saying, how sad it is he sees the students coming in. And the students today are not able to learn like the students did 20 or 30 years ago.
Well, he put the fear of God in them. And you know, if you were in his physical chemistry class, you learned physical chemistry. That was his requirement.
But, he said that, the children just don't seem to have the ability, the young people don't have the ability to learn. They're just different today. And I can't help, in fact, I asked him specifically, do you think that the fact that so many of these children have been, overdosed with fluoride, have been poisoned with fluoride, and because we know its toxic effects on the brain. And he said that this certainly was a possibility. What are your thoughts on that? Because we find here in America today, that, when we put our children into competitive testing with children from other countries in the world, we're just about at the bottom at math, we're at the bottom of spelling and English and on so many things. With all the money we spend on education, our kids are at the bottom. And, of course, everybody says, well, it's the way they're being taught. They're just not being taught well enough. And I've always accepted that. We're not using phonics. And we have this groupthink. But I can't help but wonder how many points of IQ the average child in America has lost because their pediatrician has been giving them fluoride tablets from a very early age.
And then their government has been insisting we put hazardous waste in the water supply. Absolutely. To me, there's really no doubt in my mind that the addition of fluoride to the public drinking water has damaged a whole generation of children and their ability to think and their cognitive functions. Even your toothpaste. What do? Your kid gets up in the morning, he puts 1,000 parts per million fluoride. And let me help people understand, 1,000 parts per million is a huge dose. If you had a cake and you wanted to keep the ants away from it, just put a little circle of your toothpaste around that, and you won't find any ants crawling on that cake. It'll kill them. It's a huge dose. So brush your teeth with pesticide, damage your intellect, and then go off to school and try to learn something. The parents think they're being good to the kids to get them up in the morning and have them put hazardous waste in their mouth. But really, their study showing even that lowers their ability to conduct cognitive functions, their ability to do math and their ability to do manual dexterity tests.
Now, really, are there studies that really show that effect?
Almost immediately. And it was from even lower levels than toothpaste. So, they don't want to talk about these things.
We have to talk about it because once, David, I am firmly convinced that once we can convince the mothers and the fathers of America that somebody's poisoning their children and that this whole thing is a great scam, once they realize they've been lied to about this, that their dentist really doesn't know, their doctor really doesn't know, and there really are wicked people out there who are intentionally hurting our children, at that point, we will have almost won. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, our guest this evening, Dr. David Kennedy, who's a retired dentist, who's been in this battle for a long period of time, trying to awaken the people to the fact that they're destroying the minds of our children. So let's get on then into lowering the intelligence. What are the studies that show the effect of fluoride on the brains, on the very essence of the intellect of our children?
Well, Sam, that in the Academy of Medicine, what we look for is what's called the tripod of knowledge. We need an animal study, we need a cell study, and then we need a human study. And that with the question of IQ damage or intelligence damage with the fluoride, we have all three of those. We have the tripod where we can show both that it's happening in epidemiological studies. Those are from China. And that the high fluoride areas, the children had, there were more mentally retarded children. There were no geniuses, and in general the whole IQ was lower.
And these were in areas with significant fluoride in the water. What was
a little higher than you can buy at the health food store. You can go in the health food store right there in SoCal today and buy a Trinity water, which has 4 parts per million. The high fluoride area was 3.39 parts per million. So yes, they were high fluoride areas, but that's how you do studies. And the lowest fluoride that they used was 0.9, which is about the same as San Francisco. They didn't have a zero fluoride. But then let's go to the animal studies. that they
but, but let, let's, before we leave that, any of our listeners would like these. There are two studies out of China, and they show how much of a decline in the intellect. What is it, about 10%?
About a 10-point.
10-point drop in the IQ in the areas with the high fluoridated areas.
And those studies were done in two different ways. They looked at both children with dental fluorosis, that's the little white spots on the children's teeth, and they showed that the children that had visible effects of fluoride on their teeth scored poorer on their national exams at the school level, and that they also showed that the children who lived in the high fluoride city or community had scored lower than the children that lived in the modest fluoride community. So they did it in two different ways. He's a good scientist. You know, as one of my Chinese colleagues said, we have truth in our country also. And that they were honestly looking to see what was damaging these children. And that they determined that if the children had spots on their teeth, their IQ was damaged. If they had high fluoride in the water, their IQ was damaged. And that was clear back in the 90s that they showed these studies.
Now, for any of our listeners out there, we do have, at least we can give you the lead pages of both of those studies out of the journal Fluoride, published here in the United States, available to your dentist, available to your doctor, or available to your pediatrician, and they've never heard of them. Why? Because there's a conscious effort to conceal this information. If you'd like those two studies, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you the lead page, which has a summary on them, at least gives you an idea of basically where they're going. You need to have this information. You need to get it to your pediatricians and to your doctors and ask them if this is true. Can you show me any studies that counter this at all? And if they can't show any studies that counter it, say, why then are the doctors and dentists, poisoning the minds, destroying the minds of our children? Are you concerned about that as a possibility? So that's the next study then, David.
So then we can go either to the Mullinex study, which she took rats in a controlled situation, gave them a single burst of fluoride, like going to the dentist and having a topical fluoride treatment. That what happens when you put topical fluoride on children's teeth, or adults too, it absorbs through the tissues. The tissues are very susceptible to fluoride. It absorbs through skin. And so in the skin of the mouth is even more absorbent than the skin of the hand. So once they painted it on the teeth, they measured the level of fluoride in the children's blood. They used that level of fluoride in the rats. They gave him a single burst of fluoride at the same level that human children experience in a dental chair. And that they produced permanently hyperactive offspring from the rats. They were pregnant. They were in the final months of pregnancy while the brain is forming. And just a single burst caused a permanently brain-damaged rat. Now, to me, that is really significant. And to everybody else, and that was published in one of the most prestigious scientific journals on neurotoxicology, the Journal of Neurotoxicology. And that, you know, it's good science. And what do the dentists call it? Oh, it's junk science. Well, what kind of good science do they have to counter that? Nothing. Nothing.
Now,
they have
of course,
only PR people.
Now, then, of course, she actually gave the fluoride to the newborn male rats, and what happened to them?
They became what she called couch potatoes. They sat around lethargic, and she said that not only that, their behavior was abnormal. Is that her computerized, it's a completely independent of an operator, the computerized system watched them, and they didn't groom normally. They would stand up and then forget what they were doing and sit down. They start grooming on one side, forget to groom the other. They were bizarre rats. She has over 3,000 control rats, so she knows how rats behave.
And, of course, this is well known. In fact, Dr. Mullinex was threatened, told not to publish this, and she did. She was fired. She eventually brought a lawsuit, and, of course, she at least was compensated for being fired.
Yeah, she won her lawsuit.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Dr. David Kennedy. We're talking about the effect of fluoridation. And of course, what's one of the really frightening things about this whole thing is that Dr. Mullinex was working, her name is Phyllis Mullinex, and she was working back in Boston at a very prestigious institute doing research on dental matters. But of course, when she reported what her studies were, she was told not to publish it. When she did publish it, why she was threatened and then she was fired, and then she was harassed. My understanding is she was harassed anyway, but this is a constant pattern. There was a doctor, as I recall, William Marcus, who was the chief scientist at the Drinking Water Division of the EPA, and when he objected to the efforts to change a scientific study that showed that water fluoridation produced cancer in certain types of rats, why, he was fired. There's the Dr. Linebacker back up at the University of Toronto, who at one time was very much a supporter of water fluoridation. He's in charge of preventive dentistry at the University of Toronto. He actually, suddenly when he began to look in the scientific data, he realized he was wrong. He came out publicly and said, "I was wrong," and he was threatened. I talked to him personally. He told me he could not come into my program. He was concerned about his family. He was concerned about his job. He had been threatened, and he said, "You can read my material on the internet, but I can't come out publicly at this point say that, you know, what I've been saying. I just can't do it." And what sort of a situation is it when people are being threatened to silence them from bringing the truth to the American people?
It's America the Beautiful. You didn't point out that Phyllis Mullinax, who was working at the Harvard Forsyth Dental Research Institute, was threatened not by Harvard, but by the National Institute of Dental Research, a division of the Public Health Department, Center for Disease Control. And what they told her boss was, if she publishes this information that's harmful to the myth that fluoride is beneficial, that will cut off government funds to Harvard. So you see the stranglehold that the United States federal government has on education. So instead of having brave, proud Americans like Phyllis Mullinax stand up and say, "I don't care what you do, I'm going to tell the truth," we have institutions that buckle under. It says, "Oh gosh, we lose all those $1 million in government funds, so we better suppress scientific truth." And that's basically the hammer that the government uses, our United States federal government uses, to hammer our educational institutions. That's where the real disease is.
And I think it's so vitally important that people understand that there are people in government who really don't want very smart people out here. They want a malleable public. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Dr. David Kennedy. And, of course, if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And during the break, we were discussing the story of Dr. Phyllis Mullinax, who was working at a dental research institute associated with Harvard, and when she was going to actually publish her findings of the deleterious effects, the toxic effects, the dangerous effects of fluoride on the brain of the mice that she was studying, or the rats she was studying, why apparently a division of the federal government threatened Harvard that they would cut off funds to Harvard if she published her paper. Well, she published her paper. She lost her job. She was eventually able to bring a suit and get rehired. But Dr. Marcus, who worked for the Division of Drinking Water, I believe at the was that the EPA or the FDA?
Gee, he was a senior toxicologist at the Office of Drinking Water at the EPA.
And, of course, when he objected to the fact that they were changing scientific data to remove the fact that that fluoridated water produced cancer in animals, a specific type of cancer, he was fired. Eventually, of course, he brought a lawsuit and got his job back. And I was telling about Dr. Linebacher, who is up at the University of Toronto, who was supporting initially supported water fluoridation, then changed his position when he realized the truth, and he was threatened. And I talked to him personally, and he told me that he was not willing to come onto my program. His material's on the internet, but he said, "I cannot risk my family and my position here at the dental school. I've been threatened and ordered under no circumstances to say anything publicly about this." So here we have a situation where people are being threatened today. You're not hearing about this. Where is 60 Minutes when you need them? The last thing, of course, is they want the American people to know that they're poisoning the minds of our children. And really, it is such a frightening thing to contemplate. Now, you said there were three different types of studies. We've talked about the studies in China. We've talked about Dr. Mullinex's studies. Are there other studies as well?
Yes, and then there was a really interesting study done by the EPA scientist at the Research Triangle Park in North Carolina. Isaacson, Jensen, and Varner. I think it's under Varner's name. They had done this a number of times, looking to see if they could create lesions in the brain with aluminum, and that they gave high doses of aluminum, and they found that the rats that were drinking water with high amounts of aluminum actually were healthier neurologically than the rats that had low doses of aluminum in the water. And they said, well, that's the reverse effect, where more is better, not worse. And they said there must be some other element interacting with the aluminum. So they did it again. And this is published in Brain Research. And what they did is they put one part per million fluoride in the drinking water from two different sources, sodium fluoride and aluminum fluoride. And both the animals that drank the fluoridated water, and for the listeners, understand that one part per million is the allegedly beneficial dose. And that what happened to the rats in just 52 weeks, 1 year, the rats had lesions in their brain, arteries, and kidneys. And the lesions in the kidneys were so severe, the pathologist was not sure whether the lesions in the brain were as a result from damaged kidneys or a separate phenomena. But basically, the rats were damaged by one part per million fluoride in the drinking water. And let me have you understand that one part per million fluoride in the drinking water for rats, nothing. Is that a rat can drink 100 times 100 parts per million fluoride in the drinking water, and it just loses a little weight. It doesn't even kill it, whereas it has killed human beings. So the rat is very insensitive to fluoride, and yet at the same alleged dose that's beneficial to your baby, it caused lesions in their brain arteries and kidneys. And that this is in the journal Brain Research, a peer-reviewed journal published by scientists from the EPA. So we have here our triangle of information where we have animal studies, we have human studies, and then we have controlled studies where we used exactly the same dose in an animal that is allegedly beneficial to humans.
Now, were these animals also getting aluminum?
They both had fluoride. One group had the fluoride derived from aluminum fluoride.
I see.
The other group had the fluoride derived from sodium fluoride,
okay,
similar to what your toothpaste
okay
is. And that when they autopsied them, both the animals with the aluminum fluoride and the sodium fluoride doubled the amount of aluminum in their brain. So somehow or another, adding fluoride to the drinking water of a rat made aluminum accumulate in that rat's brain, even though they didn't put it in the water.
I wonder if, of course, this would contribute to Alzheimer's disease. And
That's what they said.
Right. Okay, well, let's go to Tim, who's calling us from Indianapolis, Indiana. Hi, Tim. How are you doing?
Oh, hi. Thanks, gentlemen. I had a comment and a couple questions. I was in a large department store the other day. I wanted to pick up some bottled water, and I noticed that they had these gallon jugs of baby water, and it had a tag on it, fluoridated.
I can hardly wait for the lawsuits. But if you feed your baby water on a regular basis, that child will have spots on his teeth. And it'll take us 7 years to get to the point where somebody actually fed the baby for 7 years and they have spots on their teeth. And then you can go ahead and sue the manufacturer of that water. It's an insanity, isn't it?
I was shocked. My question, doctor, now where is this edict to fluoridate our water, where is this coming down from, and what can I do here on a local grassroots level to stop this? Because I know the city dumps that poison in the water system here. To go to an injunction through a judge or what? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, Tim, and I'm so glad that you're there. David, what can Tim do? He's in a city where they're already fluoridating the water. He's got to get a number of people educated, and then of course, go to the city council and start passing out. How would you suggest he get started?
Didn't he say he was in Indiana?
You know, he's in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Yeah, you know, that in Indiana, they've gone all the way to the state Supreme Court, and the lower court concluded that the water fluoridation was harmful, and I believe they also concluded it caused an increase in cancer death rate. This is back in the 70s. And that when they got to the Supreme Court of Indiana said the state has the right to put a chemical in the water supply under the Police Powers Act of the Constitution, even if it causes harmful effects. Is that they have the right to govern. If they deem it's necessary, then you can poison the population with fluoride in the water. That's what the Supreme Court of Indiana, Texas, and one other state, Pennsylvania, I believe, concluded, the Police Powers Act. And that's, they don't have any justification for this, but we're the police, we can do what we want to, was the Supreme Court of those states. So what do you have to do? They said your only alternative is through the legislative process. And so you're absolutely right, Stan. He's got to get, you know, his facts together, get his family together, get his church group together, explain to them the truth of the matter, and then change the people in office. Modesto, California is a wonderful example. Is that they had five city council people out of the voted for water fluoridation, and the whole city rose up and said, "Stop that! No, we don't want that." And they said, "No, we're going to do it. We know we have the Police Powers Act. We can do this. You can't stop us with lawsuits." And so they did it. And at the very next election cycle, the four people who voted for fluoridation, who ran for office, were soundly defeated. And so, you know what? Modesto doesn't have fluoride in the water supply. But it's the legislative process is the only process citizens of this democracy still have left to us. They've decided to poison us. We have to take everybody who listens to that BS and kick them out of office.
And if I could just make a suggestion to our listener there, Tim from Indianapolis, if you don't take my newsletter, we'll be glad to send you a free copy. You can call us right back, and we'll get your name and number, and send you a free copy of my November newsletter. Or if you have access to the Internet, pull down the November newsletter. It's really, even if I do say it, so it's a very, very good newsletter with a lot of great information in it. Then Dr. Kennedy has a book. Do you want to put a plug in for your book?
Well, I sure do. It's called How to Save Your Teeth with Toxic-Free Preventive Dentistry. David Kennedy's my name. You can get it on Amazon.com or, you know, search the Internet. And, you know, I would also tell them there are a thousand of small groups out there trying to fight fluoride in their own communities. One of the largest ones I founded about 10 years ago, next year, this coming year's 10th year, it's called Citizens for Safe Drinking Water. And that Citizens for Safe Drinking Water have a number of web pages. There's a citizens groups, I think, in 47 different communities throughout the United States. And what we do is we basically help you download the information. It's scientific information that's furnished to us by our scientific advisors, which are the EPA scientists. Is it the biggest problem is if you don't vet your science, you'll come up with something that says, you know, fluoride causes fleas or something like that, and it's not correct. And they tell you, you're just a fool, you think it causes fleas. No, get your science vetted, and then when you go before the city council, you've got hard science to talk to them about.
And you really want to get copies of these scientific studies and then copy them and pass them out to the members there. And we're going to be putting together a syllabus that will have so much of this in it. But right now you can get my newsletter, which is excellent. We have a four-tape set on water fluoridation that we carry. It's just you can call our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927. Ask for the four-tape set on water fluoridation. Dr. Kennedy's book is excellent. The book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life by Russell Blaylock, has an excellent section on water fluoridation. So this is the beginning, but we're going to put together a syllabus. We'll have it for you. We, of course, our December newsletter will include Dr. Hersey's testimony before Congress, before Senate subcommittee, and Dr. Hersey is the vice president of the Union of EPA Scientists who've been trying to get to the American people, have been blocked by the controlled media. So once you can get people to understand the media is controlled, they're lying to you, and they're poisoning your children, and then we'll make available many of these scientific studies. We have the permission of the publisher of the magazine Fluoride to republish the articles from his magazine, and so we'll have these scientific studies out of China. And, you know, how can you question the damage being done to the brains of children? And we'll give you references to Dr. Mullinex's and these other studies. It's all there. You'll have the scientific studies. The other side doesn't. Let's go to George calling us from Canada. Hi, George. What part of Canada are you from?
I'm from Toronto, Dr. Monteith.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Are you listening on Internet or shortwave?
Shortwave.
Good.
I'd like to ask Dr. Kennedy, is there association between fluoride and hyperthyroidism? And I'll listen off the air. Thank you. That's hyperthyroidism.
Hyperthyroidism. Okay.
Thank you.
David?
And that's correct, yes. Fluorine actually causes both damage to the thyroid, both the hypo and hyper. It's unusual in that manner. Fluorine upregulates all the G proteins also, which are the master controllers of the cell, the individual cells in the body. What happens in the thyroid is that fluoride looks like iodine, and that iodine is essential for the thyroid, and that the thyroid will pick up iodine, or pick up fluoride, and think it's iodine, and then it makes the hormone thyroxine that doesn't work. Well, the first thing it does is once it gets that, it starts making, it gets hyperactive. It starts making more and more and more, although it doesn't work. So it's working its tail off, trying to make thyroxine, but it doesn't work, and that's called hyperthyroidism. And that as the thyroid becomes exhausted in its effort to do its job as the master controller of the body, then it basically peters out and becomes hypothyroid. So, and Dr. Stan, you're familiar with the thyroid actions. Is that your understanding?
Well, yes, absolutely. You can either get hyperthyroidism, which is known as Graves' disease, where you get sort of the bulging eyes, and you get palpitations, and you get hot skin, and you're losing weight, and getting cardiac symptoms, and very nervous and agitated, or you get the hypothyroidism. But thyroid fluoride will do both hyper and hypothyroidism. So, I mean, this is a terrible thing that we're doing to our people, and there's almost an epidemic of fluoride, of hypothyroidism out there. And so many people are hypothyroid, and then what do they do? Why, they want to put you on animal thyroid, you know, and if you just quit get away from the fluoride, why, you wouldn't need the thyroid supplements.
And then supplement with iodine, because
right.
The antidote to fluoride poisoning is a high protein, high nutritious diet with supplemental iodine. That's the antidote to fluoride poisoning. It sounds like your nutrition class when you were in medical school.
Right.
Oh, eat right and stay fit. But nowhere in there did they tell you that, by the way, that the water has been adulterated with a huge amount. And you know, the dentist would just say it's only a little tiny bit. The only people that talk about a little tiny bit are either cooks or bartenders. I'll just put a little tiny bit of vermouth in there or something. You know, the scientist wants to talk about milligrams. And there's a whole milligram, one full milligram per liter of water. Well, people drink, you know, between 1 and 8 liters of water a day. So you get 8 milligrams a day. I did the math for somebody. If you're doing if you're feeding a baby fluoridated water, that the dose to a baby, if it drinks a liter of water a day, it gets a quarter of a milligram a day. 5 milligrams per kilogram will kill any human being. It's called a presumably toxic dose, according to EPA. So just do the math. Divide 25 cents into $5. What do you get? You get 20 pieces or 20 quarters. And so in 20 days, that infant will consume enough fluoride that would kill it if it drank it in one day. Well, if I were given a baby of 1/20th of a lethal dose of arsenic, they'd arrest me for child abuse. Maybe we should arrest the government for child abuse.
Well, I believe somebody is really, they really are wicked. We've got Ray calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I just wanted to say, I'd heard that Watsonville was going to fluoridize their water. And I was really, really upset, you know, when I heard about that. And apparently there are some groups, citizens groups that are involved that, trying to stop it, but it looks like the ruling is, I don't know, but
well, let's see what Dr. Kennedy, because he's usually on the front line of everything happening in California.
Right.
David, where do we stand in Watsonville?
I'm very familiar with Watsonville. It's on appeal at the moment, but it's, we used to say back in Kansas, it's crooked as a dog's hind leg.
Right,
The Citizens for Safe Drinking Water were excluded from the lawsuit over the decision to try to force the Watsonville to fluoridate the water. And that they said that, you know, they didn't have an interest in the issue. Well, of course they did. They're the people that passed the ordinance.
Right.
And that the same people who, they were sued under the ballot measure because they put a false statement on the ballot. They were sued and they were forced to put a correct, accurate ballot statement. The issue passed. Then when they went to court, they were excluded, the Citizens for Safe Drinking Water. And then the court with the judge and the city attorney all agreed to say, oh, well, and they agreed to the false statement again.
Oh.
It's not that they didn't know, is it?
No.
They've already been sued and lost in court, so they know that they're making false statements.
Oh, Christ.
And so that they did that, and so now that's on appeal, and I don't know how that's going to turn out. But I'll tell you what, as a citizen of this country, there is only one remedy left to us, and that means that we have to take all the people that are in office that did not protect our rights and make sure that they never, ever, ever win another election.
Yeah,
Ray, this is why this is such an important issue.
Yeah.
When the public really learns that they've been lied to, that the same people who put on the Tuskegee study that set out to kill 400 black men are the same people who are arranging this sort of thing, that, you know, the public health service, they're a disgrace. Tragically, and good people are afraid to speak out.
Yeah.
They've been threatened.
Unfortunately, there's roots involved. There's
right.
Roots of these people that they rooted themselves.
Okay, fine. I'm sorry we had to cut that off. We got one more minute. So Ray, if you want to call back in again, we do have 3 minutes here before we end up the program. Anyway, David, we've really got a problem as far as Watsonville, as far as all across the state of California. They're trying to forcibly fluoridate the water, and we've got to get the people educated. And I think this is a wonderful rallying cry, something for people to understand. When mothers understand that they're poisoning their children, when we get the scientific studies out there, are there any really good videos that that we could be should be distributing?
Oh, absolutely. There is the citizens in Salt Lake City, Utah, put together a DVD, a video of actually, Hardy Lineback is in there. I'm in there. Bill Hersey, all the people.
How could I get a copy of that? How can we get those?
I'll send one to you, and you can make arrangements, and you could probably carry it through your station. They have a number of them made up. They paid to have it professionally reproduced, so it'll play on everybody's machine. It's a wonderful video. I'll stick one in the mail to you.
All right. Thank you so very much,
David. It's an excellent video. It's a compilation. It's a lot of different aspects of it. It's about 2 hours long, and it'll gift. Fill your head with knowledge. It's a wonderful group of videos, really. I included in there is the documentary that my wife and I made in China back in 2000. We were invited by the People's Republic of China, the medical school there in Beijing, and not Beijing, but in Shenyang, to come see the vast improvement they'd made to the health of communities that had previously been poisoned by high fluoride in the drinking water. And they took us to a number of communities that had previously had high fluoride in the water and showed us how the skeletal health and the children's teeth had improved dramatically in the 20 years since they had lowered the fluoride level. And in the same time, they took us to a village that they had failed to find good water, and that basically it was a logistical problem and they couldn't get good water to that village. And the people were still terribly crippled. We're going back this spring.
And I think people have to understand that there are areas where they have this high fluoride. The people age prematurely. They get all sorts of arthritis. And they get infirmed at very young age. Isn't that accurate?
They're stoop-shouldered by the time they're 20. They're bent over at them as a 30. By the time they're 40, they look like they're 80. It is absolutely horrible. You can see it even in the children. You know, the 12-year-old children are already beginning to show signs of age.
And what a great, great tragedy. And ladies and gentlemen, they know exactly what they're doing. There's nothing new in the information you're hearing tonight. There are people in our government who know exactly what they're doing. But there is an organized, coordinated effort here. Of course, I believe, to do specific damage to our children. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course we do carry a number of bits of material. We carry a wonderful book called The Fluoride Deception by Chris Bryson, going into the background of water fluoridation. We carry the book Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life by Russell Blaylock, but it's got about 20 pages there, very, very good certainly on fluoridation. We probably later on be carrying Dr. Kennedy's book if we can talk him into letting us do that. We have a 4-tape set on water fluoridation. You need to get this information. Now, if you'd like to get a free copy of my November newsletter, which deals specifically with fluoride. We'll give you the mnemonic, give you most of the details of what we've talked about tonight, although not quite as well as what Dr. Kennedy has put out, because he has access to all sorts of information. I can't know everything about everything, so I have to go to experts like Dr. Kennedy, but you've heard a lot of great information tonight. We'll probably take this program and make this a part of a two-hour set we're going to be putting together. But we actually have one four-tape set already in place with Dr. Kennedy that gives you the background of water fluoridation. Could anything be as evil as anybody would intentionally poison children and lower their IQ and give them deformity and, of course, attack their endocrine system and lower their fertility and lower their testosterone and sperm motility and lead to early aging and infirmity? And I would answer, yes. There really are evil and wicked people in the world. And, of course, that is our recurrent theme here. Those of you who have not yet seen the videos we carry, they sold their souls for rock and roll. That is, they sold their souls for rock and roll. We have the 3-hour, the 4-hour, and the 8-hour versions of they sold their souls for rock and roll. And, of course, this is something that every parent should see, and every you could see that your children, your grandchildren see it. Excellent videos going into the satanic nature of rock music. But you see, this same influence permeates every aspect of our society. We're also carrying Chris Pinto's two excellent videos, Megiddo 1, which of course takes you into World War I and World War II, and then the plans for World War III. And Megiddo 2, which I have a short segment in, as well as Dave Hunt and Carol Matriciana and Kent Hovind, and there, of course, we tell you about the dark world, the occult world in which we exist, and we take you to the Georgia Guidestones, where they talk about the necessity of maintaining the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature. Of course, there are 6 billion people in the world. That means they're going to have to eliminate over 90% of them. How could they possibly get the people to go along with it? Well, maybe if they weren't very smart, they'd go along with it. Maybe they wouldn't be able to think. Maybe they would not really understand what was going on. Maybe the people would be welcome becoming cannon fodder in these interminable wars that they intend to fight in the coming years. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our website is radioliberty.com. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, November newsletter, we'll be glad to send it. We do hope you'll want to get The Fluoride Deception, the book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, the four-tape set on water fluoridation, the 3-hour, 4-hour, or 10-hour versions of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, Megiddo Part 1 or Megiddo Part 2, and then a new video we have called None Dare Call It Genocide. And if you can stand me to hear me talking for an hour and a half, why, we'll try to pull the whole issue together of exactly what's going on and getting into water fluoridation and, of course, the use of NutraSweet and MSG and mercury. We're in real trouble, ladies and gentlemen. But it's a spiritual battle. I believe there's powerful spiritual forces aligned against humanity. So pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. Now, we'll be having a rebroadcast tomorrow evening, so until Monday, have a wonderful, happy, and prosperous New Year. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening for. Do this. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our guest this evening is Dr. David Kennedy. He's a dentist. The organizer of Citizens for Safe Drinking Water. And, of course, you will want to go to their website. It's keepersofthewell.com or .org. That's keepersofthewell.com or .org. But right now we've got Flora calling us from Michigan, and she's been hanging on here for a few minutes. Hi, Flora. How are you doing?
Not too bad. How long have they been putting fluoride in the water?
Well, how long have they been putting fluoride in the water,
Dave? Well, I think Grand Rapids, Michigan was one of the first days. 1945 was the start of that. After 5 years, they took the control city, Muskegon, and added fluoride to the water there. The real reason that they did that, the guy doing that was Harold Hodge, and that Harold was the head of the Manhattan Project Pharmacology Division. And one of the problems was getting rid of fluoride. And so it's really a scam from the get-go. Because how many permanent teeth does a child have at age 5? Here's a riddle for you. The answer is none. And yet they announced that it had a 60% reduction in permanent tooth decay.
Hmm.
Well, how can you have a 60% reduction in permanent tooth decay if not one single child in that entire community had a single permanent tooth in his mouth at the time they stopped the experiment? You have to smell a rat, don't you?
Right. I was wondering if that could be the reason for our pets coming down with cancer, too.
Yes, and also some bad news about your pet food. Is it if it has ground bone meal? Is it what happens to the cattle or the deer or any other animal that's eating fluoride, and humans included, it accumulates in your bones? Is it whenever you swallow two molecules of fluoride, if you've got good kidneys, one molecule goes out of your body through the urine. The other, one molecule gets stored for the rest of your life in the bone.
Oh.
That when you grind up the bones of animals and put them in your dog food, you're feeding that animal an unnatural food. Is it, you know, you give the dog a bone. Does he eat it all up into little tiny pieces? No, he doesn't. He may gnaw on it and bury it in the yard, but he's not going to eat very much of it. But the bones are poisonous. And so when you put ground bone meal in dog food, the dog gets crippled. And how can you tell that? Is that they end up at the veterinarian's office down in the hips or in the withers. You know, they have the hip dysplasias, et cetera, et cetera. And, that, you know, they can get them a little wheeled cart so they can pull themselves around on it or something like that. So this is a symptom. And then there's a secret. There's a secret food that the veterinarians will have for your dog, and it's called meat. Meat doesn't have fluoride in it. The bones have fluoride in it.
And I think that you really have to understand, Flora, is that there are a number of studies that suggest that fluoridating the water increases cancer in human beings, and they've done comparative studies of cities that were fluoridated and non-fluoridated, and they found higher cancer rates there. There's a definite relationship between osteogenic sarcoma in young people and fluoridating the water. So I would think that there would be adequate reason to suspect that the animals would get it. Now, there are actually studies that do show that definitely animals do get it. Isn't that true, David?
Absolutely. You were talking earlier in the hour before about Dr. William Marcus, in Congress in 1977, Congressman Fountain held hearings, and at the end of the hearings he said, we can no longer assure the American public that fluoride is not a carcinogen, and he ordered the same liars, the United States Public Health Department, to begin studies of fluoride's carcinogenicity, and that was a two-year study. And they didn't get it done for 12 years. And so in 1989, the animals that had the high-dose fluoride had cancer of the lip, tongue, throat, liver, and bone. Let me say that again. Lip, where they touched the water spigot, tongue, where the water spread across it, throat, where it went down the throat, liver where it was detoxified, bone where it was stored. So this is a real obvious carcinogen, says Dr. William Marcus. They gave that study to the public health department for scientific review, and every single cancer was eradicated by the public health department. They said, oh, that couldn't possibly be this or that, one thing or another, and they changed every single cancer. Dr. Marcus called him on that. Dr. Marcus was fired. He went to court. During his trial, the Justice Department alleged that he was doing unlawful work on his government time, and they said they had the time cards to prove it. The judge asked to see the evidence, and that the next day the attorney showed up in the office without a briefcase, and the judge says, where's my evidence? And he said, Your Honor, it was accidentally shredded. They witness tampered during his trial. They threatened his witnesses. They said, if you testify for Dr. Marcus, you'll get the same treatment he did. So the United States Justice Department, the Chief Justices of the United States Legal Department, witness tampered, shredded documents, filed false charges, and that the judge banged a gavel, and he gave punitive damages along with all of Dr. Marcus's back pay, raises, and gave him his job back at the EPA. Now, you read about that in the local paper, didn't you? Oh, you didn't? Well, that's because only one paper in the whole United States, when the senior toxicologist in the United States wins a lawsuit with punitive damages against the United States government, I think that would be, like, headline news.
Should be.
Yeah, I think so. Only one little paper in Pennsylvania covered it.
But, Floyd, you have to understand that they don't want the people to know that they're poisoning us. And that sounds like a pretty bizarre statement, but I honestly believe this, having studied this very carefully, and we're accumulating material from all over the country. There is an organized effort to conceal the truth from the American people, and it's up to you and the other people there in Michigan to get the truth, to get the facts. You're welcome to go to my website and pull down my newsletters, and of course there's a great deal of information up on the internet, and we're going to try to have it all crystallized here in the very near future and make it available to people.
Is there any other way that we can filter that out in the meantime while we're trying to get this out?
No filter's going to work, but you can use either a distiller. That water that is distilled is generally free of fluoride, and that there's a double distiller on the market that I think it costs about $600, and then there's a reverse osmosis, which will take somewhere between 60 to 80% of the fluoride out, not nearly as effective. There are no filters that I would use. There are some filters that are made out of either bone char or, which, you know, if you're in Thailand or some poverty-stricken country where you needed that, that makes the water taste kind of like rotted meat, I'm told.
Hold that.
Alum is the other.
And what's that?
Alum, aluminum.
Okay, fine. Flora, we do have something called a Berkey water filter. I don't know if David's acquainted with it, but they have some special fluoride filters there. They have to be replaced every 6 months, and maybe I can get some material to Dr. Kennedy on that. But it's called a Berkey Light water filter, but it has to have a special filter on the bottom. We'll take at least about 95% of the fluoride out. Okay.
That sounds wonderful.
Okay, you can call us. Give our 800 number a call or go to our website, and we'll get more information for you, okay?
Okay, that's
800-544-8927.
Okay.
God bless you.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. David, have you looked at all into the Berkey water filters?
Familiar with that, what technique they're using. If you read the World Health Organization documentation on defluoridation, I attended the conference there in Thailand, not too far from where the tidal wave hit up in Chiang Mai. We're in the northern part of the province in 2001. There are countries in this world that are just desperate for removing fluoride, and that it's not that easy to get out. Two different substances remove fluoride fairly effectively in a filter process. One is activated alumina, because fluoride loves aluminum. And so that if you have aluminum there, it'll suck it up. Then the filter itself has to be either buried in the ground or disposed as hazardous waste, or you can give it back to the company and have it reheated and recycled and use it again. That's some of the techniques that they're using in Pakistan and India. And then in Thailand, they're using bone char, where they cook bones at 600 degrees in a retort where they've controlled the oxygen so you don't oxidize the bone, and you end up with calcium hydroxyapatite, which is a very powerful absorber of fluoride.
Okay. Now, let's see. We were going to talk about mercury, but we've just so much more, really, that we need to talk about the fluoride. So let's just go along. We've already talked about the fertility. We've talked about lowering the IQ. Then, of course, we haven't really talked about the effect on bone. What about the effect on softening bone, hip fractures, osteoporosis?
Well, actually, it doesn't soften them, it hardens them. You know, that if you wanted to break a piece of plastic or something like that, it's really hard to, you know, hit a half-inch piece of plastic with a hammer and break it. But if you hit a half-inch piece of glass with the same hammer, you bust it in a million pieces. So the harder stuff is, the easier it is to fracture. And that's what they found, is that the more fluoride there is in the bone of an animal or a human, is that the easier it is to fracture. We were talking about Hardy Lineback a few minutes ago. Is that one of the studies that he's participated in is where they collected broken hips. One of the things that kills many Americans every year is a hip fracture, or if it doesn't kill them, it's going to leave them with a debilitating injury that's going to cost thousands of dollars, good for the medical business, but it's really bad for the patient, and that they end up with a damage to their mobility. And, you know, you're the physician, Stan. You know, if you lay an old person down, they get pneumonia and die. And that's what used to happen before they figured out how to, you know, put a prosthesis on the hip. But if you live in a fluoridated community, this study was done in 1990, published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Riggs is the author. And they showed that if you lived in an area that had fluoride in the community, you had a much greater chance of having a statistically significant increase in hip fracture rate. And so that makes fluoridation responsible for killing thousands of people every year. Why? Is it, like I said earlier, when you swallow fluoride, one molecule ends up in the bones, one molecule ends up going out through the body, through the waste system. And that molecule in the bone is not inert. It's that there and poisons the bone. So as you age, that bone ages more rapidly, and so you end up with basically dead bones. Bones that are hollow, that you can show that the trabeculae or the holes in the bone are actually bigger the more fluoride that you've ingested throughout your life. So it's like you end up with a bird bone that you can break with two fingers. They say hip fracture often occurs because people are walking and a hip breaks and you fall, rather than the other way around, which is, oh, someone fell and their hip broke. No, the hip broke because it lost its ability to, tensile strength is what it's called. It lost its ability to flexibility, and that's what fluoride causes. It causes things to become brittle. You know, it'll etch glass, it'll eat through concrete, it'll eat through bone. So that's the short story of bones. It even plays a role in children. Is it the people that are promoting water fluoridation always want to point to children 8 years or younger, saying it reduced tooth decay? Why? I saw a child in a moderate fluoride area that was 12 years old that still had all of his baby teeth. They didn't have the 32 teeth that an adult is supposed to. He only had 20 baby teeth. So, you know, you compare 20 to 32, sure. There's a statistically significant difference in the number of teeth in that child's head. But if they just look at the amount of tooth decay, there would be a difference also. You know, if you had a car with two tires, it'd be less likely to wear those out than if you have eight tires.
Well, now, what are you saying, David? Are you suggesting that if you fluoridate the water, why it's much slower getting their permanent teeth?
Absolutely. And who found that? That was Harold Hodge in 1955 in Kingston and Newburgh. In the Newburgh, which was the New York, a fluoridated community, they found that there was a 6 to 9 month decrease or drop in the age that the permanent teeth came in. The teeth came in slower in the fluoridated community. They also showed that there was an accelerated onset of puberty, which means that you're interfering with the pituitary. And this has gotten not better but worse as more and more communities have added fluoride to the water supply, because, you know, if you can think about 55, you know, there were like 10, 20 cities in the whole United States. Now there are more than 150 cities in the United States that have fluoride in their public drinking water. So if you buy Post Toasties or something from Battle Creek, Michigan, sure, you got fluoride in your Post Toasties. If you buy Welch's grape juice, you got fluoride because it wasn't used as a pesticide, but now it is. It's widely used as a pesticide. So we're tremendously overdosed with fluoride. And so the whole problem of the bone ends up poisoned with fluoride. So as the permanent tooth tries to come in, it dissolves bone to erupt into the baby's mouth. In the process, there ends up high levels of fluoride around the tooth. It kills the cells that are dissolving bone, and the tooth eruption stops. We see exactly the same thing in cattle that are overdosed with fluoride from pollution from refineries and whatever. And so their permanent teeth can't get into their mouth. And so, you know, when I was 7 years old, my front teeth fell out, my permanent teeth came in. Well, some of the children in Florida communities are 7, 8, 9 years old, and they're still, you know, waiting for their permanent teeth to come in.
So really it has a tremendous physiological effect on the child then. And I don't think the average individual, certainly the average pediatrician, doesn't realize it. And not only it delays the permanent teeth, but it affects the pituitary, and it causes girls to have a premature puberty, and I suppose to say, does it have the same effect on boys or not?
I don't know. They weren't the subject of that study. You know, and no mother I know thinks it's a good idea to delay growth and development of their child, and that's exactly what fluoride does. It accelerates aging. But yet, when it comes to neurological development or eruption of permanent teeth, it delays it. So it's a violent protoplasmic poison. And don't believe me. Go get the Webster's Dictionary and look up fluoride, and the definition is a violent protoplasmic poison. Well, what is violent? Well, that's what happens to our bodies when we swallow fluoride. What's protoplasm? That's you and me. We are protoplasm. Let's put that poison in the water. What do you think?
Well, I think it is one of the cruelest things that has ever been done. And, of course, in the book Fluoride Deception, they go into the background of how this was really coordinated by the nuclear energy people, because they had to do something with all this fluoride they were producing when they were producing the atom bomb. And then even subsequent production of nuclear energy, they've had this fluoride as a byproduct. And there are things that they could do with it. They don't have to poison the people, but they, rather than do the logical things to protect the public, they're putting it in the drinking water with the idea that we'll just dilute it on down, and then it'll go down, you know, it'll get into the rivers and streams and go into the ocean and be gone. Well, you know, is this a logical thing to do, to put a poison in the drinking water just to get rid of it?
It's a terrible disease, Dan, and it's called the greed disease. And at once, the military-industrial complex decided we were going to promote water fluoridation because they had tons of it to get rid of with the nuclear production. On jumps industry. Is it, what do we have in industry? Oh, you can't name an industry that doesn't use fluoride, I don't believe. You know, you've got fluoride in Scotchgard. You've got fluoride in smelting industry. Almost every metal, when you smelt it, leaks fluoride. Of gasoline production, when you crack that thick bunker oil that comes out of the earth and turn it into that nice clear gasoline that you're pumping into your car. How do they get all those molecules broken apart? Well, that would be fluoride, right? But how do you get the circuit boards in your computer? How do you etch that? That would be fluoride, right? How do you solder the pipes in your house that make the water go through your plumbing? Well, what do you think the word flux has to do? F-L-U? That's fluoride. It's a flux that they use in the process of soldering or welding. Welders oftentimes end up crippled from breathing the fumes of the welding rod. Well, what's on the welding rod? Oh, that would be fluoride. You can't name a process that somehow or another fluoride isn't integral to. And so in terms of industry, it's the most beneficial thing that's ever happened to them, because all of a sudden now they have a way to get rid of, or at least to detoxify, their hazardous material in the minds of the public. Well, it's just a little fluoride. And that using America's water supply to dispose of hazardous waste, I don't think you can call yourself an American or a patriot.
Well, of course,
allow this to continue.
The thing is that the average person really doesn't know. And if they think they did know, why, I think we could rally them behind realizing that so much of what they've been told is simply not true. We'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Dr. David Kennedy. We will welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we can thank citizens for safe drinking water, helping us to keep the water out of our area anyway. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Dr. David Kennedy, and we're talking about the effect of fluoride. And we've covered the fertility, we've covered the lowering of the intelligence, we've covered the carcinogenic properties of this, both in the human studies as far as osteogenic sarcomas and comparative cancer rates in different cities. That work was done by Dr. Yamianis and by Dr. Burke. And then, of course, the animal studies. Is there anything else we should know about the cancer studies? Any other pointed cancer studies?
You know, lots of cancer studies, not just limited to Dean Burke and John Yamianis. The animal studies, they're back in the 70s, and almost every single cell study shows that it causes mitotic spindles to break and so forth. It's a powerful mitogen, neurotoxin, and mutagen. So, we were talking earlier about the people promoting water fluoridation being, the dentists, the physicians, and the United States federal government. That one of the problems I have with that is that I used to promote water fluoridation, and so did my dad.
Don't feel bad. I used to give some of my patients fluoride tablets. Fortunately, I could never get enough of those tablets to give the dose I was supposed to, so I don't think I did too much harm.
Well, my sister-in-law likes to point out that she, being a nurse, never filled the prescription that I wrote her for her children and my nieces and nephews to have fluoride tablets. But we didn't do it because we were mean and evil. We did it because we were deceived. We were deceived just like all the rest of the American public, because our educational system is dependent upon the federal government for funds, and the trade associations, the American Money Association, American Dollar Association, have their hands in those coffers. And so they teach the dogma to the students, and the proficients, the physicians and the dentists are not mean, evil people, but what they do is mean and evil. And that's, I think, it's just like the differentiation between soldiers who perform mean, evil acts and unjust wars. It's not the soldier, it's the unjust war. And so dentists out there promoting fluoridation, I have turned more than 100 of those dentists' minds around by making them look at the science, look at the information, and they go, whoa, I don't want to do that. But not very many of them. And I'm sorry to say, like Hardy Lineback, who is basically retreated back into the university, and many other people just, oh, gee, I don't want to be involved in that, and they shrink back. And as a of any generation American, my ancestors came over in 1759 to help make this country free, and I couldn't, in my own heart, stop just because I learned what I had previously thought was good was bad. And so I had to step up and make as big a noise about how bad it was as I did about how good it was, or actually a bigger noise now, because it's much worse than I ever thought it was. And so that's my responsibility to America, is to let you other Americans know what I've learned through hard work.
Well, when you take a courageous stand, very often a lot of people will ridicule you, you'll be demonized, and of course the good doctors who know that you're right, most of them don't have the courage to stand behind you. Or if they do, they don't want anybody else to know that they're standing behind you. I know I've been in that position with an organized medicine, but eventually, of course, I was able to swing the entire California Medical Association around on the AIDS issue. Maybe if I'd stayed there long enough, we could have gotten them squared away as far as water fluoridation is concerned, but I'm afraid that's past history. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Dr. David Kennedy, and of course, our telephone number here at the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And out across America, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And we're talking about water fluoridation, and really it's dangers. We've talked about the lowering of the fertility rate. We've talked about the premature puberty for girls. We've talked about the delay in the onset of dentition. We have talked about the lowering of the intelligence and the changing of the attitude of the child into either hyperactivity or a couch potato. We've talked about the carcinogenic effect. We've talked about the effect on the bone. We've talked about the infirmity and the fact that there really are areas, and I believe in Turkey and Pakistan, and I guess in areas in China where they have highly fluoridated water, where the people just age earlier, and don't their skin sort of just shrivel up, and they get all, you talked about, they get hunched back at a very early age?
Yes, and you know, the thing we haven't talked about is the pain. And that's the thing that we saw in China, is that what everybody reported was that the enormous amount of pain that they were in the high fluoride area. It starts in the lower back, it works up the spine, it ends up in the shoulders, the neck, and that, you know, they just end up in horrible, debilitating pain in the ligaments and in the joints. And that's the thing that people don't understand, is not only is excess fluoride intake a terrible thing to do to children, that it causes pain from one end of your body to the other, and that these people in the high fluoride areas end up living with enormous amounts of pain, and that's a horrible thing to do to people.
It really is. And of course, the other thing, of course, that it produces dental fluorosis, but the other thing, of course, it attacks the endocrine system. I think it probably attacks all of the entire endocrine system, because this is basically a cellular poison, isn't it?
Yes, and it's also a poison, what's called the G protein. The G protein is the regulator, like the light switch in the cell, and then, you know, some are on, some are off. It's like running your car. You know, your car would blow up if your foot was on the accelerator all the way down all the time, but that's what fluoride does. It turns all the G proteins on, and so you'll find it in an enormous amount of pharmaceuticals. You'll find it in fen-phen, fenfluramine, almost all your psychoactive drugs, like Prozac and the
Luvox and
exactly. You could probably list them better than I can. It's even in the nerve gas, sarin. The only active ingredient in that is fluoride. It's a highly powerful neurotoxin, and they put it in pharmaceuticals. Remember the student in Colorado, I think his name was Kybold, that shot all the other students. When they analyzed the drugs that he was taking 16 milligrams a day of fluoride. Does that make people behave in a bizarre and strange and unusual fashion? I think so.
Well, I think what's so interesting, you mentioned sarin gas. The people who are in China, pardon me, in Japan, who were exposed to the attack on the subway system there, and they got sarin gas gassed, and then, you know, of course, they didn't die from it, but a lot of them had permanent problems as far as the brain was concerned, the ability to use their minds. Have you read anything about that?
Absolutely, and I just watched a video of a water worker from Arkansas who was splashed with approximately half a cup of a mist of the fluoridation chemical, hydrofluorosilicic acid, and that he ended up horribly impaired. I mean, you know, it's almost been 8 years now, and he still can't walk well. He's on disability. He's severely impaired. And, you know, of course, everybody says, oh, well, that can't possibly cause that. But when you actually analyze the dose that he received a dose of fluoride on his skin that if he'd swallowed it would have killed him. But what it did, it soaked slowly into his skin, and it poisoned him over a period of several weeks and caused horrible joint and arthritic damages to his entire skeleton.
What about the neurological damages?
Yes, and his thyroid, he would go through, you know, huge hot flashes and cold flashes. He said nobody believed him until he was in a doctor's office when one hit, you know, and they started measuring his temperature, and it shot up to like 104. So, you know, they said, well, I guess he's not lying about that.
Well, probably some sort of brain lesion that would have to be really a basal brain lesion responsible for that. We're going to be back here in just a moment or two. And with Dr. David Kennedy, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. This is really a very, very serious issue. It's one of many where the American people are being intentionally and knowingly poisoned. That you're not hearing about this simply is a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dr. David Kennedy, and we've got Mary calling from close to Buffalo, New York. Hi, Mary. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I just pulled out an old dictionary because you guys were talking about it, and it was copyright 1962, but previous copyrights at 59, 52, 42, and 35, all Scott Foreman and Company. And it doesn't have fluoride. It has fluoridate and fluorine.
All right, what does it say?
Well, for fluoridate, it says add small amounts of fluorine compound to drinking water. Then for fluorine, it says poisonous greenish-yellow gas that is a very active chemical agent.
Okay. Well, you got to get a Webster's Dictionary.
Yeah. Well, either way, it's still pretty bad.
Oh, it is. It's a rat poison. I mean, this is what you kill rats with.
Yeah.
Why are we putting in our toothpaste?
Well, I've been telling people that if you put nitroglycerin under your tongue, it's going to affect you, and you put barley green under your tongue, it keeps your hemoglobin up. I said, how do you keep fluoride out from getting under your tongue when you brush your teeth? And then the dental student said to me, you're scaring me now.
Well, we've got to try to make him to think, Mary. And you really need to get our material and really my newsletter. I think my last newsletter. I've had a number. Have you read? Do you take?
I'm going to make copies of it. Yes, that's really good. And I don't know. Some people just don't want to hear the truth, like you said.
But what you want to do is say, you know, I'd like you to look at this. How do you feel about them poisoning our children? You know,
would you
be concerned if this even partial, if even part of this is true, would you be concerned? Mm-hmm. Would you be concerned if it was all true?
Yeah. Okay.
And that's all you can do is just, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink, but you sure can at least raise that question in their mind. And you never know, maybe they're going to hear it from somebody else or hear a radio program. But, you know, some people will listen, others, I really believe there's a terrible spiritual blindness out there. What would you have to say to Mary, David?
Well, I can tell who wrote her dictionary. And you're a physician, is if I wanted to give you a milligram of plutonium or a milligram of arsenic, if fluoride is more toxic than lead and just slightly less toxic than arsenic, and if I came up and I said, I would like to put a milligram of arsenic in your drinking water, and I would characterize that as a tiny amount or a small amount of arsenic, you would think I was lying. And so here's a dictionary that's talking about a milligram, which is a lot of fluoride, as being a small amount. And two, they talk about fluorine being added to the water supply. You can't find fluorine unless you're in a chemical laboratory breaking it loose from some other element because, as they said, it's highly reactive. Fluorine, which is the fluoride molecule, is not hooked to anything. It's the free fluoride ion, fluorine. And fluorina, you can think of it as being able to latch on to anything.
Hold on. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest, Dr. David Kennedy. He's talking to Mary from Buffalo, and she was, of course, looking in a dictionary, and, of course, it said that in the dictionary it said that certainly fluorate, you could you put it in drinking water, 1 milligram is a tiny amount, which, of course, is not true. It's a large amount. But then it goes on to talk about, you know, fluorine is a deadly poison, and it is a deadly poison, and you certainly wouldn't pour fluorine in the drinking water at all. You can't even, I mean, fluoride gas is really a poison gas, isn't it?
Yeah, and fluorine is never found free. It will combine with the inert gases. And so the inert gases were thought to not combine with anything, and they found that if they could get fluorine loose, they could hook it to the inert gases. So you know, when you try to characterize this as some sort of benign chemical, it's just ridiculous. And so, like I said, I can tell you who wrote her dictionary. Her dictionary was written by advocates for fluoridation because they set to deceive even the reader. Here's fluorine, it's a poisonous gas, and here's fluoride, which we just add a tiny amount to the water supply. No, you're adding an enormous amount. And do the math. Here we have, in the United States, 150 million people drinking fluoridated water. And so, you know, if you drink a liter of water a day, for every liter of water you drink, 200 liters go down the drain. So, you know, it's terribly wasteful of this wonderful elixir of life, or death, depending on your point of view. And so this wasteful process allows the largest privately owned corporation in the world to dispose of hundreds of millions of gallons of hazardous waste every year by adding it to your public drinking water.
Now, what is that largest? What's that largest corporation?
The name is Cargill.
Cargill.
They don't sell it directly to the water supply company because then you would be able to sue them when you find out what damage it causes. They sell it to a company whose name is Lucifer, with no F, Lucier. And Lucier is a corporation that then sells it to the water supply company. So here we have a chain of evidence. And so when you want to sue somebody for doing some damage to you, the city has police powers. Well, you can't sue them. So then you want to sue the company that sold the hazardous waste. That company can just disappear. It's a paper company. And so you can't ever get back to the Medusa where this thing came from.
Anything else you'd like to say, Mary?
Yeah, I was told to take these tablets from my dentist. They were supposed to stop the bone loss from my teeth. And I looked at them, and I saw there was fluoride in them, and I never took them.
Good for you.
Mary, let me tell you about bone loss around your teeth. Fluoride will make it worse. And that there is actually even a patent in the U.S. Patent Office from a company called Sensodyne, where they said since fluoride is known to cause an increase in the production of the antigens that destroy bone, they produced an anti- or non-fluoridated toothpaste. The reason you have bone loss around your teeth is because of too much fluoride in the bone and also a microorganism that's either an amoeba or spirochete or Actinomyces accommodans. There are a few specific organisms that live around your teeth. I wrote a whole book on the subject. It's How to Save Your Teeth with Toxic-Free Preventive Dentistry, and it's about high-tech hygiene. And it's not a do-it-yourself program. You have to have a dentist that's taken the time to learn how to diagnose and treat the infection. Bone loss around teeth is proof positive that there is an ongoing infection. When they do DNA testing on the bugs, they find that the bugs came from your mother, from your lover, or your pet. And so now that we have DNA testing, we can even find the vectors of these organisms. And they're coming from the people that live around us or our animals. And so, basically, you can be completely disinfected. In my practice, when I was practicing, we had more than 1,000 people who were able to completely kick the gum bone loss problem by getting disinfected, including one of my more amazing cases was a guy who was a quadriplegic. And so if the guy has broken his neck when he's 17 and lost 90% of the bone around his neck by the time he's 34, can stop the disease so that 10 years later he's still got all the bone that he had the day I saw him the first time, he's still got that bone and it's solid 10 years later, then the rest of us are just whiners. It's a treatable infectious disorder. It's just like having pneumonia or, you know, any other kind of infection. Get rid of the bug.
Now, what sort of toothpaste should we be using?
Well, in my book, I talk about using baking soda and salt because you can put the baking soda and salt in the cookies and the kids don't die. You know, if you put the fluoride in the cookies, you'd kill the kids and they'd arrest you. So, you know, I like to use food products in things that are edible. And I say salt, but, you know, Stan, you've got chemistry background, so do I. Any salt, like Epsom salts, which is magnesium sulfate, table salt, which is sodium chloride, baking soda, which is a salt also. So you can kill bacteria. Like I asked one child, why don't pickles rot? And pickles don't rot because they're in a brine. They're in salt water and vinegar. And obviously, bugs can't grow in that. So if you constantly bathe your teeth with ingredients where bacteria are disinfected, then you can stop the infection. And that you need a professional help. You know, this is not a do-it-yourself program. Even the kings of Egypt, the pharaohs, 2,000 years ago, had their own dentists come in and help them clean their teeth. You know, get down under the gums, get in the pockets, clean the infection out. But they didn't know about disinfection. They just had hand tools to scrape it out. Unfortunately, 2,000 years later, that's what the dental hygienists are doing still, is they go in with a metal instrument and scrape at the teeth. That's not going to disinfect it. They've got to go in with a chemical like iodine, or some of the chlorine products, salt water, and disinfect the tooth. And that will stop the bone loss.
Well, now, is there any regular proprietary toothpaste that would have that? You know, so rather you didn't have to have the baking soda in the bathroom.
Well,
I know of one.
What
else? I know of one, Microbrite. It's an antioxidant tooth powder.
Ecodent toothpaste is a powder that is made out of baking soda and salt. So, you know, that there are proprietary toothpaste. But beware. There are Arm & Hammer toothpaste, for example, has fluoride in it. Well, fluoride destroys bones. So, and it's only got 7% baking soda in it. So, you know, why would you use a toothpaste that has a big label saying it purports to have some good ingredient in it when you can get more in your kitchen? So, you know, don't spend a lot of money on this. Spend a lot of money getting somebody with a microscope to figure out what the organism is and how to kill it. There is one organism that's really tough to kill, and you will have to have an antibiotic to get rid of it, and it's called an amoeba. It's a one-celled animal. So if you are infected with amoeba, they can't tell it by, you know, culture, because you can't culture an amoeba. You have to see it. And so there are ways to, you know, determine this. And my book discusses it in detail, and there's a webpage, the IAOMT has a...
Well, I mean, let's tell which webpage would they go to and how would they get the book?
I'll send you mine, Stan. The www.iaomt.org has a protocol for treating gum disease with antibacterial treatment. They are the leaders in teaching dentists how to use microscopes and figure out how to stop gum disease.
IAOMT.org or .com?
Org.
.org.
O-R-G. It's a nonprofit organization, educational nonprofit.
Okay, fine. Well, okay, anything else, Mary?
No, thank you. There is a tooth powder I've been using. It's called Micro Bright, which is an antioxidant tooth powder with microhydrin, which is nanotechnology. And the one dentist told me whatever I was using for my son to keep doing it was good.
You're not saying the words that I'm listening for, though, Mary. And
Microbright?
Well, you know, the nanotechnology, microbright, these are all buzzwords, but I'm looking for anti-infective, disinfectant.
Oh,
I'm looking
okay.
for the words like you'd clean up the toilet with, you know, something that kills bugs, not the kind of Lysol and that sort of toxic
stuff.
This is
calcium carbonate, sodium bicarbonate.
Okay. Sodium bicarbonate will.
Magnesium carbonate.
Yeah, a little bit. These are abrasive. They're to polish the teeth, but... The sodium bicarbonate is baking soda.
Okay.
And so that was one of my ingredients that I'm recommending.
Okay, well, I'll get your book and check it out and see
okay.
what I can do.
And so, you know, the home remedies are better than the manufactured ones.
Somebody says that Tom's toothpaste that has without fluoride. Do you know anything about that?
Well, you know, Tom says, you know, how do you want it, with or without the poison? So, yeah, Tom's has it available, but it's be real careful when your hand reaches out on the shelf, because if you're not careful... Your hand will land on one with the poison in it.
All right, fine. Tom's is all right. Is Tom's what, a baking soda or what?
Tom sells a salt, sells a baking soda toothpaste. There's a really excellent toothpaste called Weleda, W-E-L-E-D-A. It's in many health food stores. It's from Sweden. And there's another ingredient in toothpaste, and we can get into this some other night, but there's another ingredient that I'm really concerned about. It's called sodium lauryl sulfate. And you'll find that in Tide or most detergents. Sodium lauryl sulfate is in lots of toothpaste. It's the reason that they foam up. You know, so when you brush with a toothpaste, your mouth gets all like a mad dog and so forth. And the sodium lauryl sulfate increases the number of aphthous lesions or herpes outbreaks that you have in your mouth. It's a soap. It takes the mucus off the inside of the membrane so that the inside of your mouth is more likely to break out with some sort of inflammation or the canker sore or fever sore. Why would you put that in your mouth? The only reason they put it in there is to make your toothpaste foam. So look for SLS or sodium lauryl sulfate in the toothpaste and try not to buy one of those. Unfortunately, Tom's toothpaste contains that. Even Ecodent has that in there. But Weleda toothpaste, W-E-L-E-D-A, does not. It's a salt toothpaste. But, you can get toothpaste that doesn't have that in there at all just by going into the kitchen. And your grandmother was right. You know, the stuff that you use in baking is better than the stuff that you buy from the drug dealers. So, somebody told me the other day that they just couldn't find any toothpaste without fluoride in it. And I said, have you been going to those drug stores? And they said, yes. And I said, you know how Nancy Reagan said, don't just say no to drugs? And I said, you should not go to the drug store. You should go to the health food store. And if you go to a good health food store, you will find a dozen different toothpastes on the shelves, and some of them will not even contain sodium lauryl sulfate, and some of them will contain antiseptic, anti-infective agents.
All right. Anything else, Mary?
So the baking soda or the baking powder, which is with the
soda.
Salt?
Baking soda.
Baking soda.
Okay,
with
thanks
salt.
So much, Mary.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And of course, back there in Buffalo, New York, where Mary's calling from, it's almost 1 o'clock. But here, of course, we've got a few more minutes before we have to let Dr. Kennedy go. It's been a fascinating evening as we've talked about the problems of water fluoridation. A planned program that's been carried out. And of course, this doctor who really, what was his name? Hodge?
H-O-D-G-E, Hodge.
Dr. Hodge. And was he the one who was in charge of the plutonium experiments on the children, where they were feeding the children the plutonium without their knowledge, just to see what would happen?
In the orphanages, apparently so. And also, he's implicated in the... his office was in the basement of the Strong Memorial Hospital in Rochester, New York. And that 48 people were injected with plutonium, uranium, thorium, and radioactive lead from the Manhattan Project. And he was the chief pharmacologist on the Manhattan Project. And apparently he set out to find out how much it took to kill people. And this was during the Nuremberg trials, where we were hanging Nazis for doing exactly the same kind of experiments on the innocent children there in Germany during World War II, while we were stretching their necks with a rope. That our government was paying Dr. Hodge and his cohort of ghouls there in the Manhattan Project to do exactly the same kind of experiments, and that the secret is out. There's a book on it. You have it.
Plutonium Files.
It's called the Fluoride Deception, and I would encourage all your readers, your listeners, to get in and order that book from you, because it absolutely pulls that mask of benign happiness off of fluoride. So you find that the people in Dora, Pennsylvania, that were choking to death on the fumes out of the zinc plants there back in the 30s, and they covered that up, and they've covered up all the rest of the problems with fluoride. So people think it's wonderful for the kids.
Well, we're going to do everything we can with the little voice we have to get the truth out. We've got Barbara calling us from Watsonville. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. I have a question about not just the drinking water, but also the water that we use in our showers and stuff. Is there a filter system that can get rid of... my doctors don't want me to have any fluoride at all in the house. And so we're looking for a whole house water filter, not just drinking water. Or is that? Or maybe my question should be to the doctor, is that a concern really or not?
Yes, it's a concern, and no, there's no good filter. There are ways to treat a whole house. The cheapest way is to drill a well. It'll cost you around $5,000, and if you in Watsonville or the Santa Cruz area, there's pretty good subsurface water that you can run into some high fluoride water in that area. That there are not all wells are as good as they're chalked up to be, but drilling a well is the cheapest way. Otherwise, what you have to do is put a water tank on your roof, reinforce the roof, and then set up a process of generating copious quantities of water. You know, making drinking water is not that tough, you know, because, you know, you're only going to drink, a gallon of water a day. And, you know, so there are four people in your family, you need 4 or 5 gallons of water a day. But, you know, when you start showering and flushing toilets and all this other stuff, unless you've got a separated water system, if you've got to supply all the water to your house, you go look at your water bill. It'll tell you at the end of the month how many gallons you used. It's enormous. How much water are we using?
How big a concern is the shower water compared to the drinking water?
It depends on how sensitive, how overdosed you have been in the past. Is it? I wouldn't want to take a shower in it. But there was an experiment clear back in the 60s where they had a person take an arm and submerge it in fluoridated water, and that they in the other arm they had a constant readout of fluoride in the blood. And they showed that just by putting your arm in a bucket of water, the fluoride in your bloodstream went up. Well, you know, if it's in your bloodstream, half the molecules are going to end up in your kidneys, half the molecules are going to end up in your bone. So, you know, it certainly does absorb through the skin. There's no way to keep it from doing that. So how can you keep it out of your house? You know, you have to keep it out of your town. You can't get it out of your water supply easily. Like I said, well water is not all good, but generally it's pretty good if you test it when you get the well drilled. That's the cheapest way. There are whole house reverse osmosis systems. Actually, there are whole city reverse osmosis. The city of Santa Barbara put in a complete RO system for the entire city back when we had a terrible water crisis 10, 15 years ago. They ended up selling it to Saudi Arabia. because they had, you know, municipal water available again from the well. But when the drought was bad, they did a whole city. So yes, the technology's there. Cost you around $10,000 to do a whole house. The same system they use on a boat.
$10,000 initial, but then how much ongoing?
Well, it's going to cost you about, you know, 5 to 10 cents a gallon for the water. And so, you know, you figure out the amount of water you're using, plus the fact you got to buy the water from the city and then clean it up. So, you know, it becomes enormously costly.
And I haven't seen anybody advertising these systems for sale.
Well, you know, the systems are available, but they're typically systems that are available for, you know, sailboats or ocean-going liners. An ocean-going liner can take salt water and make it perfect. So, you know, there are ways to do it. It just takes energy.
Okay, anything else, Barbara?
No, thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Okay, and we're going to go to Charles here. Charles, you hang on. We'll be with you in just a moment here. And you'll be our last caller this evening, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's been Dr. David Kennedy. We've got Charles calling from Carmel Valley. Hi, Charles. How are you doing? Charles, are you there?
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it was very informative listening to you. Two questions. One, I have sensitive teeth. The dentin is exposed. And, of course, the dentist wants me to use fluoride and fluoridated toothpaste such as Sensodyne. Is there any way around that?
Sensitive teeth are generally due to a couple of things. One, the gums have receded, leaving the edges of the root exposed, which may indicate something more serious than just a sensitive tooth. It can indicate, as we were talking earlier in the program, about a chronic bacterial infection around the tooth. Gum recession is actually bone recession. So you need somebody that's using a microscope to look at the organisms and see what kind of organisms are living around your teeth and see if they have the potential for eating the bone around the teeth, in which case you need to fill in.
We're talking dark field?
I beg your pardon?
Are we talking dark field microscope?
Dark field or phase contrast, or, you know, I even tell people go down to the nature store and get a $100 microscope. It's not that hard to see.
Okay.
And so once you figured out what's causing the receding gums, then you get on a program of immaculate oral hygiene, which is stuff that you use, like my electric toothbrush. My Interplaque toothbrush is one of my favorite. Rotodent's another one. It's in my book. And water irrigation with some sort, so you flush away the bad bacteria and keep looking until they're all gone. And then, lo and behold, the sensitivity goes away. The sensitivity is merely a symptom. It indicates that the gums are under attack, the root of the tooth is under attack. And when you stop that attack, the symptom goes away.
Okay, second question. Monterey is supplied by Cal-Am. Do you know if they fluoridate the water down here?
Your Monterey is not fluoridated at this time. There was an attempt to do that a few years ago. The fools in Sacramento, and I mean that seriously, have mandated that every community in the water in California that has over 10,000 residents, water connections, add fluoride to their drinking water. And so the reason they did that is because they've got hundreds of millions of tons of this stuff to get rid of, and California was 48 out of the 50 states not allowing fluoridation because more than 70 times the citizens had gone to the polls and said, no, we don't want it. And so, you know, it was piling up pretty high there in Florida, so they went and bought the legislature, gave them lots of money, and that they passed a law requiring us to put it in. Well, you know, they found out that those pesky citizens of California have resisted it, and now 30 more times we've said no. So more than 100 times the citizens of California have said no. Fortunately,
we're going to have to. All over. Thanks so much, Charles.
Well, thank you.
Bye bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening has been Dr. David Kennedy, certainly one of my favorite guests. David, do you have any parting thought for our listeners? Before we let you go.
Only this, is that if they want to call themselves American patriots, that they have to fight for the safety of the water because it's going to protect the brains of the children for the next generation. And that's our job, and that we're the keepers of this country. And if we relax, it will be taken away from us. And they're on their way right now to get it out of our hands. So fight like our country depends on it. because it does.
It really does. And remember what Bertrand Russell said. By the use of diet, injection, and injunctions, we will mold the character of the children. Page 50 of his book, that's The Impact of Science on Society. Do you want to get your website out there?
Save Teeth, SAVETEETH .org, and have lots of good articles about fluoride, mercury, and that sort of stuff. They can read up on that and find out how to keep their mouth healthy and also how to save their country from a terrible tragedy.
God bless you. Thanks very much, David.
Thanks for having me.
SaveTeeth.com. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. And, of course, this is the time when I need to remind you Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're primarily dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs and believe in what we're trying to accomplish to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day by radio, 5 hours every day by internet, 5 hours every day by satellite, and 4 hours a day, certainly on shortwave. But it's an expensive proposition. So if you believe in what we're doing, we hope you want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or subscribe to our newsletter. Perhaps get our books. We do carry the Berkey products. We have the Big Berkey and Berkey Light water filters. And, of course, you get a special fluoride filter on the bottom. You have to replace those every 6 months. But they will take out from the drinking water. They do an excellent job of removing fluoride and lead. And, of course, they'll also remove arsenic and MTBE, depending on which of the two filters you get. You can see the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light on our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Please go there. You can listen to our programs. You can pull down our newsletters. You can read some of the essays we have posted there. And then, of course, please tell others about our programs. Encourage them to listen. And we mention, again, the book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, which will help you to understand what this is really all about. Who is behind this effort to poison our children? That's The Brotherhood of Darkness. It's the book, the video, the audio tape, again, all three, the Brotherhood of Darkness special. And then, of course, the video, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3 hour, the 4 hour, or the 10 hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. The videos, Megiddo 1, which gives the story of the World War III, available in video or DVD. And then the video, Megiddo 2, which is DVD or video. And that's 3 hours. It's very, very well done. And, of course, it will take you right into an understanding of the spiritual battle in which we're engaged today. We do hope that, of course, that many of you will want to get the book, The Fluoride Deception, or Dr. Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets You Can Save Your Life. Our four-tape set on fluoride is excellent. Our four-tape set on mercury is excellent. Our four-tape set on aspartame and MSG is excellent. And then sort of an overview of what this is really about. My latest video, if you can stand watching me talk for an hour and a quarter or so, is None Dare Call It Genocide. None Dare Call It Genocide, all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 or 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, please pray for America. Pray for revival, because this is a spiritual battle. And lastly, please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision protection. Tomorrow will be a rebroadcast. We'll be back again on Monday. Have a wonderful and joyous new year, and, 205 is going to be an exciting time. So until Monday, may the Lord be with you.